evening, church. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have a hymnal in front of you, take it and turn to page number 139. Let's the church stand, choir stand. Everybody sing together what they were playing at Calvary. All right, sing with me now. Years I spent in the this has been. Amen. Amen. And it is so hard to believe that it's already Wednesday. It's just so hard to believe. But we are so excited to be here tonight. We're looking forward to some great music. We're looking forward to a great message. Man, all I could think about today was the fact that he stepped out not only on the water, but he stepped out on the word. One word. Come. You remember that? Man, what a great, great message last night by Brother David. And we want to continue to lift him up in prayer. The ladies sang a song last night about a storm, and it sparked my mind. And I thought maybe we would go back tonight and we would sing a song that we've sung many times. And that is this, The Eye of the Storm.
They didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced a storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there, someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find joy, the center of my grace, the keeper of my grace. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face a storm and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, that fill the sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. Do not fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hand. Listen closely to his words. He is. He's the eye.
Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross, let it die so you can live. Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain and every stain in a mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree, walk away free. Nail it to the cross. Is there a burden that you bear that's got you battered and bound, struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take the hammer in your hand. Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in a mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Walk away free, nail it to the cross. Just nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in a mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross, nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the
Jubilee meeting, and so very thankful and glad that you're here. And we've been dealing with a little bit of rain this week, but in exchange for that, the Lord's been raining in showers of blessings on the inside. And so we've been having a great Jubilee this week, and again, we're just so excited and thankful for this week. And it's just so good to be here tonight. I want to say it's an honor and a great privilege to have the Joy Heirs with us. Will we give you a round of applause for the Joy Heirs being in service tonight. And Brother Ernie, Sister Debbie, and so good having you with us. We just love you guys, and they're going to be here, of course, tonight, but then tomorrow night as well. And it's hard to say to close out the meeting. So the week is came and almost gone, but it's not over yet. It is not over yet, so don't check out yet. Do not check out mentally. And it's so good to have them here, but also so good. Equally, such an honor and privilege and blessing to have Brother Michael Soup, Lawrenceville, Georgia, him and Felicia, pastor of New Canaan Baptist Church. Would everybody give a warm welcome to Brother Mike? So good to have you here. Of course, he and Felicia are no strangers here at Calvary. And I was talking to Brother Michael earlier and said, well, I've been working on the dock since last year. And those who remember what he preached last year, he preached on dock work, something along those lines. And what a blessing that was, brother. Still chewing on it, looking for something new to chew on tonight as well, along with it. And it's just a blessing to be here this evening. do want to mention a few things before we turn it over to the Joy Heirs. I was told to mention that there are plenty of leftovers from our dinner tonight. So if anybody wants any leftovers to take home, please take it home. This is Mother's Finest, okay? And so you may want to take advantage of that. So there it is. I threw it out there, leftovers. But also, me and my sound men have been talking this week, and this is still in the development stage, but I do want to throw it out there that we've been talking about having a flash drive available for the meeting this week of all singing, preaching, all of it. If you're interested in that, having a flash drive as opposed to a CD, come see me after the service. One of our sound men, again, this is in the early stages development of it, but just a way that we want to be able to capture everything and give it to you as opposed to a CD falling around and, you know, get trampled over in the floorboard of your car. We'll have this for you. All right, well, again, let's give a warm Calvary welcome to the Joy Heirs. We'll turn it over to you guys. Take your time. And we've all got here in a rush. We're ready to worship, so there's no rush, brother and sister.
In this world we're living in. going to sing 20 times this month. And but at the end of this year, we're going to come off the road and enjoy each other. We've been married Christmas Day this past Christmas. We've been married for 54 years. Lord, we bless us with children. For Brother Snyder, we just give all our neighbors and kids at church chocolate and send them home with their mom and dad. We love kids, but God did not bless us with any. But we've had a tough year last year. Deb lost her brother back in June. We were starting a meeting in Kentucky. We were supposed to have done 20 camp meetings last year, and we ended up doing 19, I think. 20. We did 18. We were supposed to have done 20. I think we've done 22 this year. But we just started the first night of that meeting, and we knew her brother was sick. But he was 80 years old and been a widower since 1986. Deb lost her mother in 86. Matter of fact, that in a year's time, we lost 19 people in our family in a year. From a five-week-old baby to my nearly 95-year-old grandpa. Brother Snyder, it was so, I hadn't seen grandpa in a long time. He was in a nursing home. And he was a separate Baptist preacher, if you know what that is. And, but he, mom and dad had been to see him in the nursing home. And he asked him about me, Brother Justin. It wasn't 30 minutes, I walked in. He didn't have a clue who I was. But he told me about revival meetings that he had preached. And I went to mom and dad after that, and I said, Mom, is that true? He said, we had 52 people saved. And she said, oh, yeah, that's true. Well, he didn't know a thing, but he could remember the good things. But his brother went in the hospital and couldn't find out he had very aggressive leukemia. And he lasted 18 days. And basically had no white blood cells, no nothing. And they come in and told him, said, well, you can't do this or this, and we can send you home on hospice, or we can try radiation. He said, just do hospice. Oh, by the way, just take all this stuff off. I don't need that. And he did. And they said, we didn't know what we was going to do. I mean, he's a 6'8", big man. And later that same day, the doctor came in and said, oh, by the way, we saw him in in-hospital hospice. You can be our first patient. Never moved out of that bed until the Lord took him home. So we've had a rough year. I'm a diabetic, got my sugar under control. Now I'm in AFib. So I'll take that medicine for the rest of my life, I guess. And then Deb's had cataract surgery. And she's not as old as me. Don't ever.
Just
can't see. That's not as old as me. But Brother Snyder was over with Brother Charles Rushton. Last November, and Brother Snyder preached on Sunday and had to go home, if I recall. On Wednesday night, Brother Paul was supposed to preach, and you know how it is. You see people, and when Brother Paul come in, he just wasn't on. He wasn't himself. And we got up to sing, and we sang this song. And Brother Paul was the first one to hit the altar. And as it ended up that night, Brother Paul or Brother David Epps was supposed to preach. Neither one of them ever preached. But there were 10 people saved. Four of those was the preacher's grandkids. So Brother Charles was one happy man. And I love this song that David's going to sing for you tonight. We've been on this road a long time. I've been a Christian for 64 years. I'll be 75 years old in July. And God has been so good to me. But we all need a place. Brother Mike is one of my favorite preachers, Brother Leonard. He just gives us what we need every time. I mean that in the depths of my heart. But we all need a secret place. I hope you have. not going to go lost in it. We're going to pay prices. You old folks know what I'm talking about. And but it's good to see friends or not. Miss Carol, Brother Harry back there, for folks that we haven't seen in a long, long time. I want you to listen to this song. I love singing this song. Help is on the way, folks. We just don't give up. Help is on the way. Yes, sir. CDs. Those wristbands, the red black ones are kids' size, and the solid red ones are adults. They're $1 a piece. Back when we had a president, two of those would buy a gallon of fuel. You'll get that in a minute. But it's just a joy for us to be here. Pray for us. We do a meeting with Brother Leonard Fletcher's meeting up in Upper East Tennessee. Butler, Tennessee is actually where it is. And if you want to go, you better call Brother Leonard and find you a place. Because there are no hotels up there you'd stay in. But they use everything up there, and it's one of the best meetings we do. They have morning and night service, and on top of that, they feed you three big meals a day. I'm talking about country cooking, gravy, biscuits, ham, tenderloin, all that stuff. And, but if you have a motor home or a camper, they do have about 22 campsites. Last year, every one but one was full, and that's absolutely free. Get your name in the pot for that. But I want to sing this one last song tonight. And it's probably the most favorite song that I've ever sung. And not because of any good thing that I ever did,
bless you, Brother Ernie, Miss Deb. Thank y'all. My, my. What a touch. What a blessing. What a blessing. It is a joy and an honor to get to be here tonight. To get to say to be back here tonight is even a double honor. Thank you for allowing us to come. And I've enjoyed the meeting. I've got to listen to all of the meeting, not as it happened, but as I was able to catch up. And there's something about listening to singing and preaching that is just different than being in the room. I believe you pick up on things. I believe you don't get, maybe you're looking in the wrong place at the wrong time or something, but I've just enjoyed listening. I've enjoyed listening to Alan recap and to take and boil down the previous service and apply it and what we're looking for next. And I invite you to take your Bibles and look to the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. We're going to gob around in about three chapters there and deal with the question of show me thy glory. But before we get there, I just want to thank Calvary. I appreciate the church. I appreciate the years I've been privileged to get to attend the Jubilee here, much less to come and to have the privilege to stand here. It is indeed a great honor, and I do not take it lightly. I thank you. I do want to thank the ladies. I know several have said, and rightly so, it's such a unique thing. The cards that you send are just amazing. And they're just such a unique thing. And they do what they're intended. They bring great encouragement and humility just that you would do that. Now, I do have to tell you, preachers are petty. They can be really petty. And I heard Brother Carl, and I know he was excited, and I kept thinking maybe he just miscounted. But Carl said that y'all sent him 20 cards. And he brought them with him, and he was excited about them. And I'm glad he was. That was good. But then I went back to my pile of cards, and I only had 19. So I didn't come last night. But then, and somebody tell Carl, all of mine had $100 bills in it. And that's not true, but you tell Carl that, please, if you would. I would be grateful if you make sure he knows that. But I do appreciate it. I thought, preacher, I'd get to come. My mother had surgery Monday. I hadn't lined up and thought I'd get to be here Tuesday night and get to be in the service some this week. And I wound up yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Gainesville, Georgia, get this, trying to find a painkiller. In this world that we live in, you could go to a CVS and they can say, I'm sorry, we don't have painkillers. It don't matter if your 85-year-old mother had surgery and the doctor wrote her a prescription for painkillers. We don't have any. But if you go to that corner down, but you can't go to the pharmacy and get a painkiller. So I was at 3 o'clock in Gainesville trying to find her medicine, and next thing I knew, it was raining, and I said, preacher, forgive me, but it can't be done. And I've enjoyed the services, enjoyed the preaching. Thank you for letting me come. And I enjoyed all three of those messages Sunday. Thank you. They were great. They were great. Exodus chapter number, our text is in chapter number 33. And I can't read and I can't bring out and Brother Ernie, Miss Deb, thank y'all for the singing. Goodness, the Lord was, most of what I'll deal with tonight is written in blue ink because I just wrote it down while you were singing. And I just thank the Lord for the help. I love this thought here. And I alluded to Brother Alan a minute ago. And I just want to ask you, church, it's Wednesday night. As far as I know, most everybody here is home folk. And I told the preacher, he said something about it. And I said, I'm not a preacher's preacher. I don't preach to preachers. I'm a pastor. I love to preach to God's people. And I just enjoy getting to preach to the church. So I'm honored to be here on a Wednesday night. It's a high honor for me. But it was mentioned on Sunday that the prayer when the assurance was that the Lord would open a door of opportunity, a threshold that you could cross into this week. Brother Alan all week has alluded to praying and asking, and I wouldn't change direction, but I would try to expand. And I would just suggest to you tonight, that while you're asking God for so much in these remaining minutes and services, would you seek the Lord and see if he would just change and enhance your desire to not just seeing great and mighty stuff, but to see his glory.
Amen.
To get in that secret place and see his glory. Now, we all are in need of much. But when Moses is asking God, Moses wasn't asking for a miracle. He wasn't asking for another burning bush. He wasn't asking to be able to take a rod one more time and to part one more body of water. He was begging God for his glory. And you would say, but what is his glory? And we could spend the entire month trying to flesh out what exactly is the glory of God. But we know from Moses' situation, we know from his dialogue, we know from his angst and his anguish, he was not asking for what we oftentimes. He wasn't looking for bright lights and big noise and a multitude. He was looking for something that we like to say, as Baptists, we like to say, that's deeper than a shout. And Moses was looking for something bigger than a miracle. Now, we can't fathom that. If we could just see a miracle in our life, if we could see, we would think we had seen everything. But Moses had seen all that. But at that moment, preacher, he was asking God, show me your glory. And I wonder tonight before we leave, could you expand and maybe say, Lord, help me, because it's Jubilee and we're used to loud, we're used to big, we're used to exciting. But Lord, tonight, if you'd just get me in my secret place for just a little bit and let me see your glory. Let me see again, fresh and new, who you are. Not just what you can do. Not what you can help me do. But Lord, just let me see your glory. And what's amazing is that would be a wondrous desire at any time in our life. But I want to encourage you tonight to look at this text and realize that at this moment, even if we were mature enough to ask the Lord to let us see his glory, we would never ask it here. We think it to ask God to show us your glory, it would be a time when we're shouting it out and everything is high and everything is clicking along and every song's hitting and every message is just right on, and every testimony's got a touch. And at that point we want to say, brother, show me your glory. That's not how it was. They were as far from that as they could possibly get. The Lord was just about to do away with a lot of them and start over. The Lord was just about to do like we do when we play Scrabble sometime, dump them all and pick out new. Can you imagine saying in that moment, in that time, show me your glory? Can you imagine being that comfortable and confident in the graciousness and the goodness and the greatness of God that at that moment you'd say, Lord, while the bank's open, show me your glory. And may you get to that place tonight to realize. I'm using that background to say this. We're never going to deserve to see his glory.
Amen.
We don't get to go to four nights of Jubilee and ring the bell and see his glory. We will never be in the position that we've earned it. We will never be in the position that it's high time and finally we've been at this long enough. We deserve to see the glory of God. We deserve to see him come into our presence and do for us what we've never seen before. That was not the case at all. That is not how you get to see God's glory. It's through his grace. It's through his mercy. It's through his love. It's through his overwhelming kindness to us. So in this story, you know your Bible, you know the book of Exodus. In chapter number 20, Moses has went up onto the mount. He has received. They have come out of bondage. They have crossed the Red Sea. They have set up camp there. And here the Lord has called Moses up, and he's going to give him the Ten Commandments that we know. He's going to give him the entirety of the law. And why he's gone from chapter number 20 over to chapter number 32, this is a time when, guess what? People lose their mind. What happens by the time chapter 32 comes along? God says, Moses. I mean, Moses is, the Lord's writing the tablets, and Moses is just taking this in, and Moses is in this other realm that he's never been in the presence of God, and he's alone with God in all this, and all of a sudden the Lord, I mean, in the midst of the Lord just filling out those tablets, and all of a sudden the Lord says, Moses, get down the hill. I'm fixing to do away with all of them. Can you imagine Moses right there? This is the day Moses is going to say, Lord, show me your glory. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. Doesn't make sense. We're trying to tell God to show us his glory when it makes sense to us. Let that threshold open for you this week and say, God, it's on your time. It's in your way. But God, I want you to know I'm a candidate, Lord. Please, we beg you at Calvary Baptist Church in Jubilee, show us your glory. Show us your glory. The Lord tells Moses, said, Moses, I'm gonna do away with all this. Read some Bible tonight. And look at the text. In chapter 32, we'll pick up, maybe just read a little bit there. Well, maybe, I'll tell you what, let's, chapter 32 tells us what the people were doing, and, but if you'll notice a little bit further in verse number 32, in verse number 7, Exodus 32 verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. Boy, isn't that an apt way to describe it? They have turned aside quickly. That, boy, we're just prone to that, aren't we? We don't turn aside slowly, do we? Man, it just takes a couple of weeks and boom. They turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them, and have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be the gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. That's the day that Moses is going to just haul off and say, Lord, show me your glory. Do you see that? Do you see the that just doesn't make sense? But guess what Moses is going to get to see? He's going to get to see God's glory. I want to suggest to you today, look around this world, it's gone crazy. They have turned quickly out of the way. It might be a good time to say, Lord, show me your glory. Amen. Instead of waiting until we get all of our ducks in a row and think we've got everything lined up, and now, Lord, we're ready. That day's not coming. Haul off and ask the Lord to show you his glory tonight. Amen. Look at your Bible. The Bible says, and the Lord says, I'm done with them. I'm just doing away with them. And you know, Moses intercedes, and I love his intercession here. And I believe that's a great occupation to have while you're waiting to see the glory of the Lord, is to continue to intercede for the people of God and continue to seek the mercy of the Lord. Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why? And he goes on and he intercedes, and I can't read every text and every verse, so we're going to go down a little bit further, if you will. But the Lord said to Moses, he said, I'm done with him. He said, I'm not going with you. And then finally, the Lord kind of gives a little bit of reprieve, and he said, all right, Moses, I won't kill him, but I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel and let them lead you out there, but I'm not going. And again, before the day's over, the Lord is going to change his mind. And because of Moses' intercession, and Moses is begging God for mercy, the Lord is eventually going to say, all right, Moses, I'll go with you. Hallelujah. When you want God's presence so bad, that's all you want. It might be a good time to say, Lord, show me your glory. Moses wasn't needing a miracle. He was the miracle king. He knew more about miracles. He had lived through, done more. He'd watched the burning bush. He had watched the plagues. He had seen. He even knew his own story every time his mother told him every day, I put you in the river full of alligators and I covered you in a little ark and I pitched it with mud and I put it out there. Moses was a miracle personified. He wasn't asking for miracles. He was asking for God himself. And it's a Wednesday night, and that's my message. Now I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes telling it in four more different ways, but that's my message. Amen. That would to God we would cry out to the Lord, show us your glory. Amen. Now we're going to have to get at least a little glimpse eventually over what is his glory. But we're going to let the Lord answer that, okay? I believe he answers it in our text tonight. We would all probably say different things for what is the glory of God. I love what somebody said. Someone says the glory of God is the shining forth on public display of God's character and nature. I'd say that's a pretty good start for a definition. But let's just follow some scripture and see what it says. And so let's go a little further in our text. We got into chapter number 32, and then we're looking at chapter number 33. And so during chapter number 33, this is went on, and the Lord has said, in chapter 32, verse number 9, he said, I'm going to consume them. If you'll get over to verse number chapter 33, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up thence, and the people that hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed I will give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I'll drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. But for he said, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. I wonder how many people would say, that's fine. We're still getting everything we got promised, right? We're still getting the promised land. We're still getting the land of milk and honey. We're good to go. Thank the Lord for somebody. These old preachers will appreciate this. I'm just getting... Thank the Lord for somebody that says, just because we got stuff, don't mean we got the Lord. Yeah. Moses had enough discernment to say, Lord, it's not about the place. It's not about the milk and the honey. It's about you. And Lord, I appreciate that you're not going to kill them. And I appreciate that you're going to let them go ahead and go into the land. But Lord, we don't want an angel. We want you. And on a day when it's that real in your heart, that's a good day to say, Lord, show me your glory. That's what he's going to do. You ever had that brother that just had that audaciousness? To not just say, you know what? Man, we just got out of trouble. I'm going to ask Dad for the keys. I'll bet he'll let us have a car. You know, you're just thinking, you're that brother thinking, man, he didn't kill us. He didn't throw us out of the house. He didn't send us to reform school. I don't want the keys. I'm just glad to be alive. But you've always got that brother, you know, that one said, come on, Daddy will give us keys. Yeah. Moses was kind of that way. Hey, the Lord's not going to kill us. The Lord's still going to let us go to the land. But that's not what we want. We want his glory. Amen. We want to see his glory. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I bless him. So Moses says, Lord, if you look in 33, we just read down to verse number 5, or verse number 3. He said, I'm going to go. He said, I'm just not going to go with you. He said, if I get mixed up with you, I'm still going to wind up killing them. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. No man did put on his ornament. I want to pick up something here. And again, I've got a printout of some verses. And I've got a whole lot of blue ink because I brought a blue pen tonight, all the way down the side. And that's what the Lord's really helping me with. Look at verse number 7, if you will. And this is just allowing the Lord to let his word speak to my heart, and I hope it will speak to yours. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, probably most of us would read that and it wouldn't mean a thing to us. So what? He moved the tent. Right? That's what the Bible says. He moved the tent. He moved the tabernacle. But what you're reading right there is God's whole order is now off. God had told them, put the tabernacle here. These tribes camp on the east side. These tribes camp on the west side. These tribes camp on the north. And these tribes camp on the south. And when it's time to load up and move, everybody in their station, everybody in their place. And when we load up, they'll go out. And this tribe will lead. And this tribe will be back here. Everything is lined up. The tabernacle is the center of the community. And now Moses, because God won't be around, Moses takes the tabernacle outside. Just another easy to see point. A lot of times our structure, our religious order, gets off God's plan. You're acting like it don't, but I could probably real quickly just bring up some things around even a wonderful church like this. And the order that God had for us is out of kilter. It might be a great time to say, Lord, show me your glory. Moses took the tabernacle outside the camp. May I just say to you tonight, with as quickly as I can, the tabernacle was not designed to be outside the camp. The tabernacle was designed to be the center of the camp. Everything was in its place in relation to where the tabernacle was. Everything was in its right place when it was in the place in relation to God's presence. That's how it should have been. And it wasn't. But you know what? That might be a great time to say, Lord, show me your glory. Watch this. I'm guilty. And it breaks. I'm so glad y'all were still having Jubilee. We had to disband our camp meeting after 25 years. And it still hurts. I mean, crying hurts. It still hurts. It just does. You just had things that you just thought would always work. Yeah. And after 25 years, it wasn't. We had to change gears. And it hurts. When your religious world is off kilter, somebody turned it over. Who put the tabernacle out there? Our lives get that way. Our church lives. We think we're going to come to the last night of Jubilee. And I encourage you to come. Oh, my goodness. If you don't know Mark Stroud, you're fixing to have a good time. What a wonderful man of God. He's one of my favorite preachers. And he just helps me every time I get to hear him preach. But we think we're going to get to the point on the last night because we've been through all these services, and it's that last night. And we want to see. I'm just here to tell you, tonight might be the night. Ask God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Look at your text. We got a little bit. We're okay. We're okay. We're going to get you home before, as them preachers like to say, before the Waffle House closes, and we'll be all right. Look at chapter 33. Go a little further. And I'm just walking through these texts. Hadn't even got to our text verse yet. I understand that. And so you see, this is going on. First, God said, "I'm gonna do away with them." Then the Lord said, "I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel." Moses isn't letting up. He's not letting up. And I say to you, Mom, I say to you, Grandma, I say to you, preacher man, dear Sunday school teacher, deacon, founding member, I don't know how many of you are left. We have one left in our church. And I'm so hoping the Lord will give her two more years. I don't know if he will, but I that's just my selfish. The church will be 50 years old. We've got one founding member left. Hey, don't be those that quit. Looking for God's glory. I just got to move on. Go on. He said, look at verse 8. So Moses is at the tent door. People are going, leaving the camp, going out to the tabernacle. And the Lord sends a plague. The Lord has to deal with some things. The plague comes. We know that some, but watch happen. Watch what happened in verse 12. Verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Now, if you're going to try to do a work for the Lord, If you're going to try to have a church, it kind of helps to know who's on the team, right? And Moses is saying to the Lord, Lord, you've told me this is what you want me to do, but you hadn't even told me who's going to go with me yet. And I say to you, you may not have all the answers. You may not have the roster filled out. You may still be waiting on that key piece to the church leadership team. You may be waiting on that key person in the choir. You may be waiting on that key situation to that person to come in. You may not know who they're going to be, where they're coming from. Go ahead and seek God's glory. Amen. We're waiting again. Let's get the roster filled out. We know who's on first and who's in right field and who's batting cleanup. Then we'll go after those things. I'm just old enough to tell you, that's probably never going to happen. Just go ahead and ask God to see His glory. Amen. While you have the opportunity. These are not ideal situations. But the church is guilty of waiting till everything's an ideal situation before we think that the Lord can work, or before we'll put ourselves in a position for the Lord. Go a little further. Where were we? Chapter 33. We're down there in verse number 11. He said, you hadn't even told me who's going to go with me. Or verse number 12, rather. And so now he's saying, God, in verse 13, if I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. What a heart. What a heart. He's still interceding. He's still trying to put the covenant back together. He's still trying to make it like it was. And this is what's going on. This is the dialogue he's having. And don't you and I want to say, Moses, quit while you're ahead. You've asked him for more than any other man would have asked him for. He's given you more than he would have given to anybody else. But in the midst of all this, verse number 18 is in your Bible. And he said, behold, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me. Amen. If you got a whole lot of people in your secret place, it ain't a secret. Amen. Hallelujah. In your heart, in your spirit, Lord, show me your glory. Now remember what's going on. Lord said, I'm going to do away with a lot of them. And Moses intercedes, and God said, all right, I won't. He said, but I'm not going with you. I'm going to send an angel. And Moses said, Lord, if you're sending an angel, I'm not going. If we don't have your presence, it don't matter where we are. Right. Amen? Amen? It would help us to get to that point. But Moses was, at that moment, Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. I just think the Lord just marveled at Moses' faith, at his confidence, at his perception. I wanted to say something about Brother Ernie, Miss Deb. I love these people. I get to be with them each year at Fletcher's meeting, and he told it right. Man, if you ain't gonna be nowhere on election day, you ought to be there. It's just the best place to go for a few days in the first week of November, and they treat you like. Just so wonderful. What this man has helped me. I admire people with talent. I wish I had some. But what I really admire is discernment. There's a lot of folks that can sing a song. But when you send somebody to the platform and they can sing the right song with the right heart, man, I'm telling you what, that is a camp meeting. That is a pastor's, that is a church service's dream. And they've got discernment. They're always the same, consummate professionals. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to know what song to sing, watch what that man sings. And that's a gift. That's the God. And thank you. I'm going to try to be here tomorrow night if I can. I want to be here. I want to just be with you one more time for it. But thank the Lord. Look at your Bibles. Moses says, Lord, show me thy glory. And watch what the Lord says. Here's what you need to see. Moses has asked for his glory. What do you think God's going to show him? And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, may I suggest to you, based on my Bible, I find in my mind the glory of God consists of his goodness, of his greatness, and of his graciousness. That is who the Lord is. He is good, he is great, and he is gracious. That is who God is. Boil that down into 100 different ways. It comes back to God is good. God is great. He said the Lord. He gives his name, the Lord. That speaks of his greatness, the self-existent one, the Lord. He is greater than anything there's ever been. His goodness, he is more good than anything ever is. And he is more gracious than anyone ever has been. And Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord did not say to him, well, get some loaves, get some fishes, bring a storm, do this or do that, or get some frogs or some lice, or turn a river to blood, or part the sea. He says nothing of that. Moses asked for his glory. God responded by, I believe, giving us an easy glimpse into his glory, his person. Amen. Who he is his glory. Now, I know there's other places in the scripture. Yes, he's glorious and he's mighty in power and strength. So many scriptures. But watch this. I want to back up that premise with verse number 22. The Lord said in verse number 21, the Lord said, behold, there's a place. Thank God for that secret place. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my miracles pass by. And it shall come to pass when my manifestations and the bush don't burn pass by. It shall come to pass when the greatest storm that's ever been passes by. That's not what he said. He said it shall come to pass when my glory passes by. What did Moses ask to see? His glory. What did he say was going to pass by? His glory. Thank the Lord for his glory. Now I'm just saying to you, if you're not careful, because we're starved for it. We're starved for one of them revivals like you sang about, Brother Allen, to start with on Sunday morning. We're starved. We all have this idea in our mind that we just want to live long enough to see one more or to see one at all. Like we've heard about, maybe been a part of. We just want it with all we have. And I say to you, if we're not careful, we'll want God's stuff more than we want the Lord. Show me thy glory. Help me. I'm going to just hear. I've got a young man in my church. I wish I had his gear. He can live focused on how good God is. He just can live focused on the person of our glorious God and how wonderful he is. And he has a hair trigger. He's never waiting for a miracle. He's never waiting for a healing. He's never waiting for a message that's beautiful. All he's got to do is hear anything about grace or about how good God is or wonderful God is. And honey, you have crunked his tractor. That's all it takes. And he lives with that mindset. He's not waiting on a miracle. He's not waiting on a shout. He's not waiting on that service where they said, and the preacher didn't even preach. It was so good. No, he's just wanting to think about the Lord and get a hold of his glory. Amen. And I hate him for that. I really do. Because it's going to take 3 miracles and Skippy peanut butter to get me to shout. But he just lives in that zone of seeing the glory of God. And he challenges me. He convicts me. But he just is that real about it. Would to God we could pray, Lord, show me thy glory. Oh, miracles are. Oh, my, I'm not putting them down, ladies and gentlemen. Would to God we'd see those miracles we've prayed for and begged God for, waited for. While we're doing that, don't miss the opportunity to say, Lord, the world would say this is a crazy time to ask, but Lord, show me your glory. He was seeing God's glory. God was being gracious not to wipe Israel out, but he was specifically saying. So watch it. Let's see. You say, well, preacher, I still think it's got to be light flashing lights. Got to be something, right? I don't see it. Watch your Bible. Go with me a little further. Go to chapter number 30. Go down to verse 22 where I left it, chapter 33, verse 22. And I got 5 minutes before I'll be nervous. And I'm okay to be nervous, but I got 5 minutes before I'm even nervous, all right? And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, I'll put thee in the cliff of the rock. We could sing and see. And I will cover thee with my hand while I'll pass by. I just believe the Lord was going to show him his glory. It's what he asked for. That's what the Lord said was going to pass by. He said, my glory passes by. And then he said, I will pass by. I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. But watch this. I do want you to see this. I want you to see this. Moses has asked to see the Lord's glory. There are no deserving God's glory, but you can miss that opportunity. Watch verse chapter 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I'll write upon these tables the words that were in the first tablets which thou breakest, and be ready in the morning and come up in the mountain unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. There were some things the Lord required of Moses. He required of Moses that Moses would rise up early and he would head for the mountain. And he would, somewhere between now and the morning, he would hew two tablets of stone. And I've Googled that, and I don't know how long it takes to hew a tablet of stone. Anybody ever hewed a tablet? No one knows how long that takes. But I'd say Moses was pretty busy hewing a tablet. And he didn't just hew one, he got two, because God said, get two tablets. And the Lord said, I want you to come up in the morning. Watch this. He's already asked God to see his glory. God's telling him when he's going to see it. Isn't that pretty easy? How do we mess it up so bad? In the morning, come up to the top of the mountain with two tablets. And most Baptists would show up at noontime at the bottom of the mountain with one tablet saying, Lord, you don't understand. My dog ate my other tablet. We've got them built in, right? God's, you've asked for this privilege. Now I'm telling you when you receive it. And I wonder in the next 4 minutes of the service, how many of you have time to hew two tablets of stone and determine to get to the top of the mountain? Because you've headed up the mountain several times, but you've never got to that place where God said to get to. He said, get to the top. And there was one other thing about that. He said, hew two tablets, come in the morning and get to the top. A lot of us just quit a few steps short. We got one more rung to go, and we say, if that ain't good enough, forget it. But maybe the last thing the Lord said to him was the hardest. He said, come by yourself. What was Moses' prayer? Show me thy glory. We come to Jubilee, we come to revival, we come to Sunday after Sunday. If we're not careful, we want everybody, because we do. But we're thinking everything is based on everybody. And tonight might be that night. You just have to do what God said to Moses. You may have to come alone. He said, don't bring anybody. You may have to get to your secret place tonight by yourself. I am a pastor. Sometimes the wives don't go to the top of the mountain when the husbands go. Sometimes the husband's not interested in going to the top of the mountain. Sometimes you've just got to get your tablets or your table. Go by yourself. But that's what Moses had to do anyway. Come by yourself. Don't bring anybody with you. The Lord went up, or Moses went up. We know the story. So what happened when the glory fell, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us Verse number 5 of chapter 34. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God. I'm sorry, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Hallelujah. Keeping mercy. Thank God he knows how much mercy we need. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He speaks about his judgment beyond that. Thank God for his glory. Thank God for his glory. When did Moses ask for it? It was not on a day you and I would have asked for it. But Moses had some discernment to say the whole world around me is going crazy. But Lord, I want to see your glory. And you know, if you study that out, even Aaron was involved in that calf incident. Your family, your own family, may spiritually lose their mind. Carl talked about guarding the mind. What got into Aaron's mind to think that makes sense? You may have a family member that has just lost reason. They have taken up things in the name of religion that just don't make any sense. It may be a good time to say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I've shared with you tonight the things that the Lord just spoke to my heart the loudest about. I'm mindful it's Wednesday night. I know my Wednesday night crowd, they're whooped. And for you to be in Jubilee, I know you're tired. I don't want to wear on your patience. I think I've said the things that can get you to see what the Lord has shown me. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. And in the few remaining minutes you have left in Jubilee, and far beyond Jubilee, I believe anybody in this building would say what we're asking God for, we don't want to end Thursday night. The services will come to a conclusion, but we're hoping that'll just be the beginning. But I wonder tonight, could you say to the Lord, maybe I've wanted to see things and not you. Maybe I've wanted to see you do stuff and not just be with me. Lord, I need your presence. I'm glad that you're not judging us and you're not bringing the due of all of our failures to us. And that'd be good enough just to say, Lord, that's a good day. But Lord, it's just in my heart, like it was Moses, to say, Lord, show me your glory. I know what miracles look like. I know what burning bushes look like. I know what parted seas look like. Lord, that's not what I'm asking for. I need you. And in those 4 minutes that I challenged you, the Lord showed you what you need to get a hold of and bring with you to your secret place. Has the Lord showed you how you've stopped a few rungs from the top? Has the Lord showed you you got to go by yourself? Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Lord, I want everybody to know and see. But tonight and in this meeting, Lord, I just ask you, would you show me? I need to get a better glimpse of your greatness, of your goodness, of your graciousness. Lord, you're so glorious in who you are. And Lord, show me your glory. Brother Justin.
All right. We've got a song we're going to sing. You come.